All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 12. We want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Our subject is the wells of salvation. And as we read these words, we read this from Isaiah. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, folks, we could go into the history behind this praising that Isaiah does, but because of time, I want to just focus on what the verses say. Isaiah and the children of Israel had a lot to be saying this about at this point in time, knowing the great saving power, wonder of God's presence. But I want us to focus on this, and it can be seen from verse 1, and our hearts will tell us this also when we deal with God, that when He comforts us, we find a lot of reasons, a bunch of reasons, to praise Him and to speak of His goodness toward us. If we are simply paying attention to what God is doing for us, our mouths will be filled with praises about His goodness toward us. And it's really a great time when we get in that condition. It's really a great, great time when we are there that we know the Lord has had reason to be angry with us and in our lives. But it's great for us to get to the place where we know that there is peace with our Lord and a place where we can feel His comfort. Every one of us have felt the whip of God from time to time in our lives, reminding us that we need a good spanking. But it's a wonderful time when we get to the place where, as Isaiah has put it so well, where we really are feeling God's comfort. And in the same way that it happens to us, that we get this feeling, lost souls coming to Christ, they are leaving a place where God's anger thunders, where God's condemnation and judgment threatens, and they are leaving a place where God overshadows them with a terrible force, and they come to a peaceful valley where God's gentle words just soothe and give them peace. So there's a comparable experience both in saved people who fall under God's chastening hand and in lost people who are given the new birth and brought into that haven of peace with God through salvation. There's a comparable experience that is received by the two different kinds of meeting with God. Now, a soul in this place that Isaiah is talking about comes from feeling condemnation or feeling under the judgment of God, and he comes to a place to realize that God has withdrawn or covered up anything about judgment, and that he has wiped away the threat of any great condemnation. And for the lost sinner, he's wiped away the threat of hellfire, and he's now welcomed us with open arms. In his mercy, our all-knowing God, folks, all-powerful, holy judge of humankind, gives the condemned criminal a pardon. And through faith in Christ is why this happens. And that reprieve causes every human being who experiences that reprieve the greatest sense that God's anger is past, it's removed, and comfort has come. That's where we find Isaiah's statements are located at in this experience. Now, in a spiritual condition like Isaiah's outlined here in verses 1 and 2, the Lord's people are now at the place prepared to really enjoy the Lord. And in this state, we as God's people are sensitive to all the goodness of God and all the fellowship that our minds are able to comprehend that the Lord brings with Him. But something else is there that's more important than this feeling, and that is we find fresh joy in the Lord, and this joy makes our lives and hearts a really, really fertile ground for receiving the greatest benefits of our relationship with God. We feel that things are moving forward in our relationship with our Lord, that we are growing in the things of faith, and that God is showing us His smile more and more. And so when we look at these verses, we find that this is really the premise that is enlarged on in verse 3. Therefore, says Isaiah in the writing, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. This is where we come to as we get to the place that we're really having fellowship with God, really enjoying that fellowship and not having something between us and Him that is in our lives, not having anything that blocks the way by which we can come to and enjoy our Lord. And so according to the verse, joy, if you look at that verse carefully, joy becomes the equivalent of a bucket by which we would draw water from a well. That's what we see there in the type, in the word picture. So let's just start by saying that this verse of Scripture and this portion of the Word of God teaches us that it's a joy. It is joy itself that gives us access to what the Lord has secured for us in His great salvation. It's joy that gives us access to understanding what that is. And I think every one of us know that if somehow or another we've gotten discouraged or gotten depressed or gotten out of the will of the Lord or gotten in a place where we're not in good fellowship with God and the joy is not there, we have a really hard time understanding and perceiving the largeness of the inheritance that God has given us. But when the joy is there, we get access to the understanding about what God has done for us. Now, have you ever noticed, like I've just suggested, that when a person suffered from depression, one of the most common thoughts that people have when they get to that place is, and one of the most common testimonies they sometimes give is, I don't have anything to be happy about. I mean, how many times have you heard that in your life? We know we've heard it. And maybe we've said it in our lives. At those times when we're down at the bottom in the dark valley, we don't feel what God has given us. We don't feel the largeness of the inheritance of the saints in life. We just feel depressed and that we don't really have anything to be happy about. But you let a person come to the place where something has given them a big boost of joy and they find a whole lot of things to mention that they're happy about. You ever notice how all of a sudden the sunshine of happiness jumps right on you when you are come out of the place because something really good has happened and you're suddenly brought face to face with the fact that, hey, this is not so bad after all. I've got things in my life that are really good. And then all of a sudden, because that one big thing comes up with a blessing for you, you're all of a sudden, you've got an encyclopedia of things to be joyful about. That's exactly what the Lord's talking about here. That's exactly what He means when He says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So the human psyche is made to feel, it's made up the way that I'm discussing, talking to you about. And God knows that the things that will build a positive feeling in people come from the things of joy. And so the Lord has got things set up to help us get there, and more than that, to stay there. So joy in God gives us a means of getting refreshment in our lives from the things that relate to God, to salvation, to the inheritance that we have. You know, when I was a small kid, and I've used this illustration in other ways from the pulpit. When I was a kid, living with my grandparents' house, my mom, my dad, my brothers, and my sister, we all lived in a little, like, three-room, four-room cabin. Now, that was a big cabin back in that day, but it was still a small house for the whole family to be there. About seven of us was there, and then Grandpa and Grandma. When we lived in that little house, we got our water from a well out back. It was right outside the back door. Never forget that. I got a mental image of that well, those well tiles. Back then, it was you either had a 24-inch or a 3-foot well. You didn't have these little, you know, pipes like you have today. And so here was this, it was like a 36-inch well, and they had dug that well 100 feet down. And it was the cabin was up on top of a hill, and they had dug that well 100 feet down, and Grandpa had a wooden cover over the top of it with a trim around it, and a door that you could flip off. It was hinge driven. You could flip it open. I had a pulley up here on this. All of you have seen these old pictures of wells. They got this structure up there that holds the pulley. He had a pulley up here, and we had a chain because they had to go 100 feet. It wasn't a rope deal. It was chain. We had this. It looked like the little swing chains that we use nowadays for swing. We had a chain that would let the water, the bucket down. I can remember the bucket always seemed huge to me. Maybe it wasn't so big, but it looked big to me. And we let that bucket down that 100 feet, and we'd draft water out of the well down there, and it took 47 years, felt like to me when I was that young, to draw a bucket of water up out of the well. But listen, when we got that bucket of water up out of the well, you've never tasted such cold and delicious water as that was. And it would just fill us with excitement the first time of the day for mother or dad or one of the older brothers to draw a bucket of water out of that well. And we'd be standing there, you know, we'd be expectant. Sometimes we wouldn't have our expectancy fulfilled, but sometimes we would. We'd be standing there expecting maybe brother or mom or dad would let us have the first drink out of the dipper. There was always a dipper was hanging on the side of the post there. And we would, and if we got the chance, we'd dip that water out there, and it was so cold, so clear, and so delicious. I'll never forget the wonderful, exciting feeling of dipping that water out of the deep well that we drank out of in that day. And you know, although my brothers used to gripe about having to draw water from that well, us littler ones that got to drink of it and didn't have to draw it, we thought it was just the most wonderful thing ever. Folks, let me just use that as an analogy and say that just in that same way, in the joy in the Lord delivers us a bucket of His precious promises, of His precious spiritual water for us to drink. I'm going to use that as a type because when you look at that old thing that I related to you, you realize that without the bucket, we could have let that chain down in that well forever and never gotten more than just a wet chain up out of that well. But it took the bucket to retrieve that water down there, and so it takes the bucket of God to retrieve the water out of the joys, the water of salvation, the well of salvation that God has prepared for us to get that water out of. So the bucket's essential to get water out of the well. And if we envision what I've explained to you about what I enjoyed as a kid, it becomes emblematic of spiritual things that Isaiah is portraying here in the statements. We can draw a word picture of how joy is the key, the bucket, to our drinking from the wells of salvation. Now let's just look at the old well scene again a minute. We have the arm strength. I'm going to call it the arm strength of faith. We have the arm strength of faith that can supply the spiritual energy to get the water, don't we? So there's the arm of the older brother, mom or dad, that can handle going down there with muscle and getting the water. We have the pulley. We have the pulley in this symbolic drawing. The pulley can represent the Holy Spirit assisting that arm of faith, that strength of faith, going down, letting the bucket down into that well. So we have the faith. The faith of the arm, if you'll call it that. We have the pulley of the Holy Spirit. We have the rope or the well chain that provides what we can connect our bucket to. And this rope or well chain, I'm going to call the well chain of hope. Follow me on this because I think there's a wonderful analogy here. And then we have the water in the well. God guarantees that. You can read this verse and see that He guarantees it. But without the bucket of joy, we cannot bring the water out. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what the Lord tells us. We want to go with that and think about it. Now, water is the word used to metaphorically speak of the wonders of refreshment, as you can probably obviously see right there. It's a metaphor for the wonders and the refreshing quality and the quenching of spiritual thirst that reside in salvation. What did he say? The waters out of the wells of salvation. So the water is a metaphor, if you will, here for the refreshment that comes from the wells of salvation. Now I want to remind us again about the bucket of joy. We can't reach those precious refreshments. I want to emphasize that need for joy, folks, in a strong way, because this whole portion of Scripture is all about finding the combination to be able to draw the precious water refreshment out of the wells of salvation. And you got to have the strength of faith. You got to have the Holy Spirit's assistance. You got to have the chain of hope. But you got to have the bucket of joy in order to get it there. Now, let me just say that Christian life just can't develop and grow where there's no spiritual water. It's going to freeze up. You think how you'd be in your life if you were either totally cut off from a supply of water or limited in how much you could get? Health deteriorates. It doesn't stabilize like we sometimes imagine. But if you're reduced in water supply or you can't go get any water at all, that health, your personal health gets reduced. And so Christian life can't develop and grow where there's no spiritual water, or where spiritual water is limited. And it's limited if we stand with a bucket in our hands and don't draw water. It's limited, which is what we sometimes are guilty of doing. Now, as we think about the metaphor, we have to be reminded about what water could do. That is, how could the water be used? And how much is available? How much water is there in these wells of salvation? We want to think about those things because they're important. This is determined, if you will, by the lifestyle of those who have access to the water. And literally translated, if you don't go out and draw, you don't have any water. That's about lifestyle. And so we need to realize that the bucket of joy is needed to get and enjoy the waters of God's salvation. Do you have joy this morning? Do you have joy in the Lord? Well, hey, you've got the bucket, and as I've already drawn the picture, you have everything else if you're saved by the grace of God. You have the strength of the arm of faith. You have the Holy Spirit's assistance, the pulley. You have the chain of hope going down into the well, and you have the bucket that can go down there hung on that chain. And so, that's what we need. Now, as we think about the availability of water, we're reminded that one of the biggest confrontations of an unrest that happened between Abraham, the father of the faithful, and Lot, that nephew. One of the biggest confrontations was probably over water availability for their herds in the plain of Jordan. And when Lot decided to take another section of the country, the Bible tells us there in Genesis 13 that Lot looked over the well-watered plains of Jordan to make his choice about where he was going to go. Water was critical to them, and I believe they had confrontations among their herdsmen about that. And that's the way it is in real life, folks, about real water. But you know what? When we think about that particular thought, we realize that Isaac also had trouble getting along with the people of Gerar in the 36th chapter of Genesis, because they caused trouble over the wells of water that Abraham and his people had dug and Isaac had cleaned out and used again. They had trouble over that. The trouble was over access to water. And so this teaches us something in spiritual lessons. This story in Genesis 36 about Isaac and his trouble with the people of Gerar over water, it has an additional lesson to it in metaphor when we remember that the Philistine heathen that had stopped those wells. Isaac didn't stop them. Isaac's offspring didn't stop them. Abraham's family didn't stop them. The Philistines stopped them. And it took Isaac and his family a promise to clean those wells up again, folks. Now, take a lesson from that, because there's a whole nother lesson about water availability in that God can teach us. But in a very short summary, enemies of the Lord's people will always attempt to make the availability, the wells of salvation, unusable. Let me say that again. Enemies of the Lord's people will be continually stopping the wells of salvation, trying to attempt to cut off that access to water to the people of God. Everybody who opposes God, even when they don't know it, will be about the business of obstructing your enjoyment of the water out of the wells of salvation, and they'll do it any way they can. And that's a great type for those Philistines in Genesis 36. But the most pointed observation I want to make about this thing of water availability and water access, and about the discord that Abraham experienced and about the discord that Isaac experienced, is in relation to the availability of water. And this observation I want to make is that as we look at this thing, folks, we can expect discord when the Lord's people do not have adequate access to the water within the Lord's wells of salvation, and that there will be discord, even though it may be the Lord's people that are causing this loss of access. That's what we find out. Sure, it was the Philistines in Genesis 36 that had stopped those wells. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord's people, they stop their access to their own wells. They stop it by what they do. We have a tendency, if we get one-sided, we have a tendency to mess up our own access to our own wells of salvation, folks. That's what we tend to do as human beings. Now, our text speaks, and this is a good place to put this in. It speaks of wells of salvation. Keep that in mind. This is nothing less than a plurality of life-giving and refreshing spiritual water to be had through the process described. Joy being the bucket, taking water out of the wells of salvation. Now, we think of salvation in the singular, obviously, one salvation, and that's the appropriate way to think about it. But the sources of refreshment from salvation, folks, are many. They are many. And salvation then contained a whole lot of wells, and we want to just think about a few. Salvation contains so many wells of spiritual blessing that we approach them with joy toward God, having the bucket in our hand, folks. We approach them with joy toward God in our hearts. We can drink of every one of them at will as the Lord makes them available. They're available. They're there. Maybe they've gotten stopped a little bit by the enemy. Maybe we, through our own neglect, have kind of stopped access to them, messed up our access to them. But they are there. And if we find that bucket, folks, if we find that bucket, we can dip water, we can draw water out of each and every one of them. Now, that in mind, I'm going to look at some of the wells of salvation. I'm going to name them, and then we're going to say a few words about them. There's the well of salvation called the well of God's love. There's the well of salvation called the well of God's faith, which is our faith, given to us by the Lord. There's the well of hope, the well of salvation that resides in hope. There's the well of salvation that resides in what we call security. There's the well of salvation that we call assurance from God. There's the well of salvation that we call power with God. There's the well of salvation that we call happiness in the Lord. There's the well of salvation that we call the peace of God. So all of these are wells of salvation. And we want to think of three of these. First, the well of love. Let's think about that love well for just a minute. We have access to it, but I will be bold to say that if we don't have the bucket, we can't draw out of that well. If we have joy in the Lord, the mouth of the well's wide open, the bucket's in place, the pulley is there, the chain is there, and the arm of strength is there to draw the water. We can draw from that well and drink of that draught that I'm going to call the drinking of God's love that He extends to the undeserving sinner. Folks, listen to me. I've seen a few people being around when a sinner makes a profession of faith and comes repentant and seeking to make a public announcement of the fact that God has saved his unworthy soul. And every time I've ever seen that scene before me, I've looked in the eyes of the children of God who witness it, and there's this overpowering glow of joy at this great thing that's happened. And that's what the Lord's talking about. Out of the well of God's love, we can drink of that sip called the joy of seeing an undeserving sinner saved by the grace of God. And we can go back further than that, and we can think about what wonderful thing it was that God saved us, the undeserving sinner. What a joy to think about the fact that while we were wandering in pure darkness, hating one another, God, in His infinite mercy, came to us with that expression of love and spoke to our souls about love, and that joy came flowing out to us and then came flowing out from us because we had drank of the well of God's salvation called the well of love. Drink of the well of God's salvation called love. Drink of the sip that I'm going to call God making things possible for us. It was the love of God that opened the door to all possibilities to us. Oh, I know, folks, that we have a problem getting our arms around that wonderful, all the possibilities that love has given to us in God's great name. We have a difficulty wrapping our arms around it because of our wavering, our weak faith. But it's there. That drink from God's well of salvation called love, it is there to sip, to know and understand that all things are possible with God. And then He said to us as His people, I love you, and whatever is mine is yours. Come into the blessings that I have for you. And when we think about that, what a wonderful draught of water, a draught that we have taken from the well of God's salvation, God's well of salvation of love. And we can take that great deep drink from God's well of love, the one that I call drinking of the sip that God gives us of the love, of what love has laid up for us in eternity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life and should never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a wonderful drink from God's well of love to be reminded that we have God's great love abiding with us and in us, and He has laid up for us an eternal life that'll never fade away. That's the drink we need too, brothers and sisters, to drink from the well of God's love. That's a well of salvation. All these things are part of the salvation of God's love. Let's think now about the well of God's salvation called the well of faith. So we've got the well of love, and we had a deep drink of it, and now we've got the well of faith. And here's something else to draw water from. The well of faith contains the beautiful, delicious, tasty, refreshing, thirst-quenching water related to God's gift of faith to His people. Drink of the fact of the unspeakable gift of God that saved us. That's what Paul was talking about. The unspeakable gift. The gift of faith by which God dealt with our soul and gave us that believing power to become the sons of God because we believe on that name. That's a drink for us to drink and remember, folks, out of the well of God's faith. That well of salvation, precious indeed. Drink of out of this well of faith, drink of the unfailing constancy of your trust in Christ and of His faithfulness to you. That's a drink we need. To drink from the well of faith is to take a drink of the water that comes out of there that has a taste in it of how faithful the Lord Jesus Christ is to His people. I've given to them eternal life, and none shall ever perish. No one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father that gave them to me is greater than all. The well of faith is where we can draw water and drink of that great truth. Jesus Christ, the faithful Savior, the faithful Messiah, the faithful Keeper, the faithful Brother, Jesus Christ, the one who revealed Himself to us when we drank of the faith of the well of faith, or the water of faith from the well of God's salvation. And then we can drink of the elements of faith from God's well of salvation called the faith well. We can drink of the faith, the elements of faith, and the set of doctrines that God has taught us about it. We can talk about the fact that within the faith doctrines, we can take the drink of the fact that God's eternal plan for redemption is settled in heaven. It's there because Christ made sure it was there. So we can drink of this refreshing element of faith. God's eternal plan for salvation. God's sovereign choosing of us. We can talk, we can drink of the drink of God's preparation for making us acceptable to Himself. Part of the work of faith, folks. Part of the work of faith. And we can talk about His fail-safe provisions by which He guarantees our conversion. The Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit sent by commission to our hearts to instill faith unto believing in us so that we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're about out of time, so I want to cover this one last thing about the wells of salvation. I said I was going to look at three. Let's think about the well of hope for just a moment before we close. When we think about the well of hope, there's water in there, spiritual water, that allows us to drink of the fact that we have escaped from death. Not might escape from death, folks, but have escaped from death. Remembering that hope is that steadfast confidence in God Himself, in Christ Himself. And in that, when we drink of that well of hope, we're drinking of escape from death. That's part of our hope. We're drinking of getting rid of every effect and tendency to sin. That's what's coming. That's what we hope toward. Don't you want to be sinless? Amen. From every one of you, I don't have to ask you, I know. And that's part of our hope, that we believe and trust that there's coming a day when we will be completely cleansed, freed from all sin. We will be pure and white. Even as our Savior is pure and white, we will be clean from sin. That's hope. We can drink of that from the well of hope. We can drink of the expectancy of an unfettered, undamaged, perfect body. That's part of your hope. We hope toward the blessed day when the Lord, the trump shall sound, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the archangel of God, and we shall be changed in that moment, receiving the glorified body that the Lord has promised us. That's down there in the well of hope, folks. It's to be drank of, pondered, refreshing ourselves with it, enjoying it. We can drink of the expectancy of the potential. Listen to me. We can drink of the expectancy out of that well of hope of the potential for limitless mind expansion. I love the thought of that because we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. And when we're like Him, we have access to the library of God. And in that condition that we shall be in that condition for which our steadfast confidence is set, we shall be able to explore before our God all of the wonders and the mysteries of all of creation and of all of divinity. We'll be allowed to explore all those things. That's part of the well of hope that we're talking about. We can understand, we can acquire divine knowledge. Out of the well of hope, we can drink of that great, great thing. And folks, I know that I may have stretched this analogy, this metaphor way out there, but I haven't done violence to it. All you have to do is to get a picture of the wonderful spiritual truth that Isaiah has given us here in a kind of a capsule format, is to begin to imagine the drawing of that water that I started out with in the illustration and just assign the spiritual meanings to it and realize that God is talking about, the Lord is talking about plurality of wells of salvation. That if He means that it's a plurality of wells that exist, we know that at least the three that I've named are without doubt going to be there. And I named those others, and we're not going to take the time to look at them, but we didn't just name faith, hope, and love. We named security, we named assurance, we named power, we named happiness, we named peace, and we say that all of those are wells of salvation. And there may be more. I didn't capture every single possibility here, but just some of them. So Isaiah, what a wonderful truth he gives us. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I close with this one last reminder. If you don't have the bucket, you can't draw the water. And let the bucket represent joy. And as soon as you do, you realize that if we're going to have access to these wells of salvation, we got to have that bucket called joy. And as soon as we have it, as soon as our hearts feel the impress of the joy of God, then the wells appear out of nowhere in our minds, in our hearts. And we can begin to draw out of those wells the wonderful things that bless our hearts, increase our joy, increase our confidence in the Lord, increase our faith in the Lord, increase our love in the Lord, and all the other things that are spiritual things that increase as a result of drinking from the wells of salvation, drinking that wonderful water that the Lord has provided.